Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, think of it this way. Mid-May, kind of early June type weather here in Tucson. Push kind of the traditional thinking, 100 degrees around May, June. Let's push everything up. Not that I'd like to, but push it up by about 6 weeks.
You're describing the makings of a long summer.
The makings of a long summer. I think that would be very accurate. But as we say, it is what it is. It's Thursday, April the 10th, 2025. The Buckmaster Show is in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We're not out at Green Things. I mean, not that I wouldn't want to be out there. They actually have the naming rights, and I'm glad they do, to our studio here at the Bustos Media Center in Central Tucson. We've got five radio stations under one roof. The most recent acquisition that Mr. Bustos made from Fletcher McCusker was the purchase of The Drive, which is doing so well. I know I listened to it along, of course, with KVOI. Rex Scott is here, Pima County Supervisor's Chair, and I know, good to see you, Rex, first of all, in studio. I know you're a huge fan of the gang over here at The Drive, which is right across the hall.
I absolutely am, Bill. I am, as somebody who grew up in the late 70s, early 80s, I'm sure I'm part of The Drive's main demographic.
You are indeed. And I'm kind of the unofficial Drive consultant on 60s music, and so I make a few suggestions and know a little bit about that. We launched our program, Rex Scott, 15 years ago with the radio show. We're now in our 37th year here in Tucson Radio and TV. We've got our Buckmaster Show website, buckmastershow.com. You can listen to the program live there. And, of course, my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, does such a great job posting all of our programs. Very easy-to-use website. By about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, the day's show is posted. And we do our telephone interviews. That is presented by Rincon Ventures, Sean and his gang, Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. By the way, Sean will be a guest here on the show on Monday afternoon. Pima County Supervisor's Chair Rex Scott, Democrat. We have one Republican on the five-member board, and he appears on the program monthly, and that's Steve Christie. But Rex Scott is my representative, basically the north of the Foothills gang in District Number 1, and Rex is now the chair of the board. Rex, how are things going? This first chance we've had to have you kind of eye-to-eye. We've had you on the phone, but overall, how are we doing?
Bill, we're doing great. I really enjoy serving as the chair of the board. It's not only interesting to work on crafting the agenda with the clerk, the county administrator, and the chief civil deputy from the county attorney's office, and then running the meetings, but I also appreciate the opportunities when you're asked to be a spokesperson for the board or for the county at large.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are speaking, in effect, for the county. And it is a lot of extra work that because of the agenda items and the interface with the legal team, it's a lot of work.
It's more work than being a district representative, and then you also have to continue your role as the voice for and advocate for the people of your district while you're serving as the chair. But I'm genuinely enjoying it, and I'm grateful to my colleagues for giving me this responsibility.
And Pima County, former Pima County Supervisor's Chair Adelita Grijalva, of course, now has moved on. She's hoping to move on to bigger and better things. Her hope, of course, is to fill the seat and left by the passing of her dad, Raul Grijalva. So now the board has a decision, and that decision is coming up rather quickly, I believe, on Tuesday, how to fill that position, which would be District Number 5.
It is, and we are adopting this condensed time frame at the behest of Supervisor Grijalva.
Fast track.
Yes, no question. And we adopted this process unanimously at our last meeting. And the reason that we, on April at our last meeting on April 1st, the reason that we chose to have this accelerated process where applicants had to get their materials in by the following Monday, April 7th, that gives us this week to do the forum with the League of Women Voters, which we did last night, and for each of us who choose to conduct individual interviews. The reason we did that so quickly is because Supervisor Grijalva's resignation coincided with budget development season. And she felt, and all of us agreed, that it was important that the 200,000 plus people in District 5 have a voice at the table as we are putting together the most important policy document that we put together every year, which is the annual county budget.
So a new vice chair will be appointed because she was the vice chair previously.
That's correct.
The chair, and then you assumed the chairmanship actually at the beginning of the year, but she also had some important positions.
Yes, she was the county's representative to the Pima Association of Governments Regional Council, and when you're a member of the PAG Regional Council, you're also automatically a member of the Regional Transportation Authority Board. She was also our representative to the Visit Tucson Board.
Okay, and by the way, Visit Tucson will be our Friday, our Monday one-on-one with Felipe Garcia will be here on the program Monday. So what did you think? How many candidates are there, and how did last night's forum go, Rex Scott?
Well, we have six applicants for the position, and five of them participated in the League of Women Voters forum last night. I watched it. It was a webinar, and I enjoyed hearing from the five people who participated, their plans for the office and how they would engage in constituent service, their policy goals for the board. And I'm looking forward to the one-on-one interviews that I have scheduled with all six of the applicants.
One of them works for the county already. I would assume that if she were to be appointed, she would have to resign.
Yes, she would. That,
you can't double dip, right?
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah.
If she were appointed, she would have to resign her position as a county employee. And it's important for people to know that because of how early in her term Supervisor Grijalva resigned, whoever is appointed by the board will have to run next year in both a primary and general election just to complete the full term that Supervisor Grijalva earned in 2024. So they would have to run in 2026 in both a primary and general election, win those. That would give them the right to serve out the remainder of her term. And then if they wanted to run for a term in their own right, they would have to be on the ballot again in both the primary and general elections of 2028.
And the board goes into this with a very open mind. There was no favored candidates as far as you're concerned?
No, and it's important to point out.
And there had been some thoughts that perhaps there were some favored candidates because Andres Cano was, of course, the longtime aide to the late Richard Elias, and for some have thought, well, and maybe Andres had the inside track.
Well, he certainly has a tremendous amount of experience, having worked in the District 5 office as an intern and then as a staff member, having been elected to represent a legislative district within the supervisor's district three different times. But there is no favored candidate. It's important to point out that Supervisor Grijalva has not made any endorsement as to who she thinks should be her successor. We have an open process. Everybody was welcome to participate in the forum last night, and any supervisor who chooses to, and I certainly am, can conduct individual interviews with each applicant.
All right, we're almost up against the break, but we've got several pieces of a business here, including the water rates, but I think that will deserve pretty much the entirety of our segment number two. Did you quickly want to point out about the acquisition of the Kelly Ranch property?
Yes. You know, back in 2004, county voters passed open space bonds, and one of the properties that they were very interested in acquiring based on their approval of that bond package was the Kelly Ranch property. It is surrounded on three sides by Catalina State Park.
Wow.
Which, of course, the county was integral in helping to form. back when it was brought about.
Sounds like a choice piece of property.
It absolutely is. It has both cultural significance in terms of not only the ranch house, but some of the other artifacts on the property. And it certainly has interest with regard to its wildlife and land protection components. So we are using a combination of local and grant funds to make the purchase. And we're very excited to move forward with this. It fulfills a commitment that we made to the voters back in 2004. And we're also proud that it's supported by the town of Oro Valley. You will see that one of the voices that was recognized when the purchase was made by the board was Joe Winfield, the mayor of the town of Oro Valley.
All right. We'll have more with Pima County Supervisors Chair Rex Scott. But right now, Supervisor Scott, we're very delighted to welcome to the program a new sponsor. We call them partners with the Buckmaster program. Pima Council on Aging has joined us.
And certainly that is a group that I am very familiar with because of everything they do on behalf of constituents, not only in my district, but throughout Pima County. We have a strong partnership with PCOA.
Support comes from Pima Council on Aging. Decisions made today shape the future for older adults. Stay informed on legislative changes that impact aging and take action when it matters most. Sign up for timely updates. Make a difference at advocate.pcoa.org. We'll be right back with Pima County Supervisors Chair Rex Scott right after this. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio Friday Focus interview coming up tomorrow. David Godleski. Dave does a great job. The Southern Arizona Home Builders Association. Dan Shear will be my co-media host. And my goodness, how the tariffs are impacting home builders. There's a ton of material to talk with Dave about tomorrow. But right now, it's segment number two with Pima County Supervisors Chair, and that is Rex Scott, the Democrat who represents District 1, the district I live in. Generally, it's that area north of the foothills and then up into a little bit into Oro Valley and Marana. So my buddy Tim Steller had an interesting column, the headline, Tucson Tries Again to Jack Up Water Rates in Unincorporated Areas. So is the city now thinking of moving ahead, Rex Scott, with a plan to raise rates for those of us served by Tucson Water who live outside of the city, those of us in the foothills? This was tried before, and the court said no way to that.
Well, Bill, before I answer your question, okay, I just want to encourage you tomorrow to talk with David about his work on the Regional Affordable Housing Commission.
Okay.
He is one of District 1's representatives to that commission.
Okay.
And that was because of not only his work in the private sector, but also because of his work on a affordable housing task force that mm-hmm. predates the commission. And I was proud to appoint him in that role.
But talented guy.
He really is.
Really is. So here we are. The city seems to feel there's a revenue source that is not being utilized.
Well,
that's my home and and others, and, right?
And so many of the people in our district will be affected by these higher rates. And they are unfair. They are discriminatory. And even if the city of Tucson and Tucson Water have found some methodology that they think will legally cover them in the case that they move forward with this, which looks likely, it is unfair and it is discriminatory. Yes, there are other cities in the state of Arizona that charge differential water rates to people who live outside their jurisdictional boundaries. But in almost every instance, those are people who became ratepayers well after the utility had started up. In this instance, you're talking about people who make up right around a third of Tucson Water's customers. And many of them, perhaps even including you, Mr. Buckmaster, mm-hmm. have been customers of Tucson Water for decades.
Well, my case would be 37 years.
Well, there you go.
We moved into the Buckmaster bungalow in January of 1988, so do the math, yeah. And we've been with Tucson Water ever since.
And this proposal, this latest one that they've advanced after the lawsuit that we filed against them and won, knocked down their first proposal. This one is carefully tailored to not only pass legal muster, and we'll see if it does, but it's also designed with an end in mind. And the end is to raise rates on people who live in the unincorporated county. It is not based on a holistic cost of service study of their entire system involving all of their ratepayers. And for that reason alone, there are many others I could cite, but for that reason alone, it is discriminatory, it is unfair, it is divisive, and we should be looking for ways to come together as a region in terms of making use of this most precious of natural resources, our water. And I'm very disappointed that the city is going in this direction, and I'm confident that my colleagues and I will be talking about this issue on Tuesday, when we convene, based on the preliminary action that the city council took two nights ago.
In some ways, it's kind of like the court said the first time, no, this is not going to work. It's discriminatory or whatever. This is like, did they find some, what they believe would might be a legal loophole? Would that be safe to say?
What they... the court found last time that they didn't follow the proper process.
I see.
That they didn't use the proper methodology. And they feel like they've addressed that this time. However, this is still not based on anything other than looking explicitly at ratepayers in the unincorporated county with the end in mind of raising rates on those residents of the unincorporated county. If there were a holistic cost of service study done that involved all their ratepayers and their entire system, you would reach a different conclusion. But when you have a conclusion or an end in mind, you're going to find any means to work towards that end. And we're going to do everything that we can to advocate not only for the interests of the people who we represent in the unincorporated county, but also we're going to look for any means of finding collaborative regional approaches to dealing with our water resources.
Tom put up, and our buddy Tom on the other side of the glass put up an interesting question, Supervisor. How do the users' rates inside the city compare with those in the county? Is it basically the same, or what?
Well, it is the same now.
Yeah.
And it has
been. This would change that, right?
It would, absolutely. Okay. And they first tried to change it in 2021. Were unsuccessful because of the lawsuit that the county reluctantly but successfully brought forth. So now this would result in increases of anywhere from 16% to 23% for people who live in the unincorporated county.
All right. We have a live line caller, a caller calling in on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. On line one is Jeff, has a question for Pima County Supervisors Chair Rex Scott. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for taking my question, Supervisor Scott.
I'm sorry, but I can't hear Jeff.
Oh, thanks.
I needed to turn my volume up,
he
Jeff.
He turned up his volume here.
Operator
error. Go ahead, Jeff. You're good.
Okay, are we firing on all cylinders now?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hey, okay. So in the county, do county residents pay a sewer fee? And because the sewer is the county's domain, I'll use the word, and we're making all this brouhaha over water rates, I'm curious as to whether the county charges county residents a sewer fee. And the reason I ask that, I pay a pretty healthy fee for sewer right here in the city, even though I'm not a city water user. I have a private water company that I use, and many times my sewer rate is higher than my sewer bill is higher than my water bill. So I'm just curious. I don't know the answer to this. County residents pay some sort of sewer fee?
Jeff, you're absolutely correct that the county is the sewer provider for everybody in Pima County, regardless of which water company they use. And we contract with each water company to have the fees for your sewer usage attached to your water bill. We do that with Tucson Water, Metro Water, as well as any of the other water companies.
All right. Thank you, Jeff, for that question. Let's see. We've got 3 minutes, so I can address this with Rex Scott about the moving forward. The county administrator, Ms. Lesher, will be presenting her recommended budget to Rex Scott and his colleagues, four other colleagues on the board, at the end of April.
That's correct. I believe the date is April 24th that we'll be getting the recommended budget from the county administrator. And she has been checking in with us throughout the budget development process to do a pulse check with the board, find out what our interests and priorities are. We have talked during our meetings about supplemental budget requests from not just department directors, but also elected officials. We have talked about our general fund reserve policy. That is one of the reasons why the county is in such good financial shape and so highly rated by bond agencies and other entities that judge our performance. We have also talked about the allocation that we use to fund our PAYGO plan that funds all of our it funds all of our capital improvements. And then I'm sure we'll continue to have discussions after the recommended budget is presented to the board about any revisions that we want to make to the recommendations that are presented to us.
Dr. Robert Hendricks is waiting in the wings, and he is a very good friend. Well, he's a good friend to me and to you, Rex Scott.
He was the superintendent in the Flowing Wells District when I began my career as an educator in 1991. So I've been very blessed to know Dr. Hendricks since then. He's known my wife, who was already working in Flowing Wells, when I met her even longer. So it'll be great to see him.
All right. Thank you very much for coming in. We've got you scheduled before I go on vacation. Well,
yes,
no, actually, we're going to put you on after I get back from vacation. So by then, we'll have a very good look at the budget and see how that's doing. All right. Thank you very much. Pima County Supervisors Chair Rex Scott. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. We're going to take our mid-show break here. We've got CBS Network News coming up in a few seconds. Then we have Dr. Robert Hendricks, our contributor on education. He's waiting in the wings and once again promoting tomorrow's Friday Focus interview. David Godlewski, the head of the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association. Dan Scheer will be with me from the Green Valley News. So we've got a lot on the plate, but let's take the break, then Dr. Hendricks.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Jan and Jack are doing so well over there as the owners of Green Things, and they wanted me to tell you that the sale of selected items, most of the items, up to 50% off at their sister business on site at Green Things is called Zocalo Village. And that sale continues. Some really great, it's really a rare opportunity to purchase one-of-a-kind handcrafted Mexican art and furniture. So a lot going on over at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. I think they have sourced probably the most, the widest selection of pottery, certainly in Arizona, maybe in the Southwest, or certainly may even be one of the top places in the United States. The variety is just unbelievable over there. So check it out, greenthingsaz.com, and then zocalovillage.com are the two websites. And when we do our telephone interviews, that is presented by our friends Sean and the gang over at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management, one of our contributors. So delighted to have two dozen or so regular contributors to our program. Dr. Robert Hendricks, Bob Hendricks, lifelong educator. He talks about education with us on this program. Try to get him on monthly. He served as superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District, associate professor emeritus, associate dean of the University of Arizona College of Education, former Arizona Superintendent of the Year. Of course, he's very active in the Tucson community, currently serving as president of the Interfaith Community Services, known as ICS, their board of directors. And that is really a great organization. I do like to plug, first of all, good to see you, Bob.
Good to be seen.
I like to plug the organization because you guys do great work, ICS Partners, with over 120 faith communities, including where I worship, St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church. I think they're one of your big-time supporters.
They are.
Members, right?
Terrific partner.
Yeah, our friend Father Robert Hendrickson up there is a terrific partner. So anyway, ICS does really great stuff. So what's going on up at the legislature? Is there any movement about maybe we need to be a little nicer to the school teachers in this state?
I'm not sure that message is very loud and clear.
No.
It seems to be that some of our most critical legislators are continuing to beat the drum to try to dismantle as much as they can of the public school system. For some reason, they believe that we're never going to offer the kind of product that they believe should be, and that so we ought to hand this over to private industry or parents who perhaps know better as to how to educate children. And, you know, those thoughts are their right, and I certainly applaud them for believing what as they do, but not to the point where they're going to disadvantage a public education, which, of course, is supported by our tax dollars.
Mm-hmm. And what you're saying is you're kind of echoing. We had state representative, and she's actually now the number two person in the caucus of the Democrats, Nancy Gutierrez.
Yes, yes.
Who and she was talking here on the show about it's a bias that some of the lawmakers have toward those who serve in public education, that somehow those in public education are like government school people.
Yeah, I have to kind of think, did these folks have a bad experience in school?
Experience in public school?
I had a wonderful
experience, but maybe they had a horrible experience.
I don't know, but they seem determined to do whatever they can to dismantle the system. And again, I support private schools. I support people who want to pursue homeschooling, but again, not at the expense, you know, of our public school system, which of course includes charter schools as well.
Mm-hmm. So each year for probably the last 3 or 4 years, there has been an enhancement for this school voucher system.
Yes.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that, making it more generous, if you will, those taking advantage of the vouchers. Has that leveled off at all this session, or appeared to be?
It has not.
Okay.
It has not. I keep hoping that it will. I keep hoping we've
that
reached
the goodie
a point
bag
where
maybe,
we're,
goodie bag may be empty.
Yeah, where we might say, okay, enough is enough. Maybe we ought to back down on some of these things. In fact, there was an effort to do that by the State Board of Education. They brought a proposal to the legislature and to Superintendent Horn that there be a tightening of the criteria, particularly for instructional supplies. Honestly, I feel really sorry for the administration of that program because there are such loose guidelines as to how the money can be used. Let's think of it in terms of a debit card.
Mm-hmm.
That if you're a homeschooler,
mm-hmm.
As a parent, you get a debit card for around $7,000.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, you can spend that money on anything that you deem as a parent is appropriate instructionally.
Would that include a giant TV screen, a big widescreen TV?
No, that's off the list.
Okay.
But you could have a very large computer monitor.
Oh.
That would work because
okay.
that would fit the paradigm of what
okay.
But in any case, this whole issue was brought before the state board. And really the basic question is, what is an educational expense? Well, the state board has said that we really ought to tighten the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at the curriculum and say, what items would support the curriculum? What would be needed in order to teach a particular subject?
Yes.
So that we wouldn't be so randomly selecting or supporting certain items. And so that was the proposal. So that was under scrutiny.
Like a guidebook.
There is a handbook right now. I wouldn't exactly call it a book, but it should be a book because mm-hmm. there should be specifications. There should be regulations. So that was the question. How do we justify what it is that we offer, and that should it be open to interpretation, or should the revised handbook be very specific about what's approved and what's not approved?
Mm-hmm.
So the examples of things that were listed that would no longer be approved, which currently are approved, mind you, are backpacks, lunchboxes,
okay.
children's car seats,
mm-hmm.
clothing other than uniforms,
mm-hmm.
freeze dryers, espresso machines, greenhouses, dog training,
what?
Footwear. Bill, I'm not making this up.
Doctrine.
The list goes on and on. Household cleaning supplies and household cleaning services, multi-person kayaks, ready-to-eat subscription meal services,
no.
and
take the
smart watches, subscription streaming services to Netflix and Disney,
oh my God.
Passes to theme parks, training and care of service animals, and my favorite one here, Bill, hotel expenses for road trips, but they call them field trips.
Oh, let's go to San Diego, right?
As a field trip.
Oh, boy.
Right.
How about a place right on the beach?
But again, if you're the administrator and you have no guidelines,
oh my gosh.
These things have been approved. Now, there are other things that I can list that have not been approved.
Like
a $15,000 wristwatch that somebody requested, a $5,000 massage chair, and a $24,000 golf simulator. These were disapproved by the department because they were kind of no-brainers. But these other things are kind of in between. I mean, you could argue, well, I need the streaming service because Disney has some documentaries
mm-hmm.
but that has to be developed, and it's not. So
yeah.
The other thing is that they put under this proposal, there would be some expense caps to certain things like musical instruments that you couldn't spend more than $4,000 per student in every 3 years.
Okay.
You couldn't spend more than $2,000 per student for computers and laptops.
Oh my gosh.
Over 2 years. Now remember, this is per person. So if you've got a family of four children, four times seven.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money there. Anyway, there's another thing that the proposal looked at, and that it's a very interesting loophole that I was not aware of. If you're a parent and at the end of a school year, you apply for the voucher program, the summer goes by and you re-enroll in a public school in the fall, that period of time in the summer is reimbursed under the voucher system, and you basically get two-thirds of that $7,000 for the summer hiatus.
Oh, boy, that could be used for the summer vacation.
Okay.
Wow.
So now, as you can imagine, if you're receiving, we'll call them benefits, you would object. And so, therefore, there were dozens of people who were recipients who came to the state board meeting and complained.
Mm-hmm.
And one parent said that she felt that she was part of an artsy family and that it was important that her child be able to get expensive shoes for her ballet lessons and that she shouldn't be limited to $2,000 for a musical instrument. Mm. And so that was patently unfair.
Huh. Wow. Okay, we'll take a break right here. Dr. Robert Hendricks, our education contributor.
Yeah, there's more.
Wow, that list is pretty interesting. If you had more than one child, even one kid, you'd get a pretty nice little summer vacation. What if you got three? You could really have a nice trip somewhere. All right, take a break right here. Back after this.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our friend Tom has brought up on my screen, 80 degrees, nice day over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Remember, the elevation there makes a difference, and we'll start to be talking about that more as we get very hot here in Tucson. It is cooler over in Silver City because the elevation's 5 to 7,000 feet. And look at the weekend forecast, mid-70s. So that's perfect weather to get out, do some hiking. It's a fun road trip, about 3 hours, and you'll be in the land of enchantment. Southwest New Mexico is their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Start your planning now. Dr. Robert Hendricks is our education contributor with me in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio and in segment number 3. And now we've transitioned to segment 4. And we weren't really finished with segment 3 talking about the State Board of Education. In the end, declining Bob Hendricks to make the changes in the school voucher system program.
Didn't happen. And I don't know why I'm surprised at that, except that our state superintendent had initially supported the proposal and said
to tighten up the
But these changes were absolutely necessary, and then he folded. He basically said we need more time to review this. We need to form a committee, which is what everyone says when they don't want to make a decision.
When they want to kick the can down the road. Let's do a committee.
And so this thing is put on hold for another year. We're left with indecisiveness, ambiguity, and the reality is that we're going to continue to approve things that I don't think, as a taxpayer, we should accept.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult, but it is what has happened. And so the state board apparently has been given the direction to look at this further and come back with perhaps a refined proposal.
Would trampolines qualify if somebody wants? Oh, they would.
Yes.
Yeah, just thought of
playground equipment is a real source of discussion.
Yeah, because put a little playground in your backyard with a trampoline.
You can do that.
Swing set and all
absolutely.
Sorts of stuff.
So
that's all.
You know, the other thing is, and I've always, I think about this, and particularly capital items, and a capital item is a hard item.
Yes.
You know, it's not a service, it's a hard item.
Uh-huh.
If you leave the program,
mm-hmm.
you don't give it back. You keep it.
Right.
So I don't want to provide any strategies for anybody, but I would just say that that's really a questionable practice in my mind, that as a taxpayer, I would invest in a computer that would remain in somebody's home.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the questions was, what is high end mm-hmm. in this whole discussion? We're not looking for the least expensive computer when you've got all this money that you can spend. So a $2,000 computer is a very decent computer.
Yeah. And that $2,000 may be a $4,000 computer very soon with these tariffs.
Well, but if you got a family of 4 people, you can pool your money.
A couple of other quick items, partisan school board races.
This is another one we've
picked around. It comes up, it seems like, every year. Because right now, school boards across Arizona are nonpartisan, correct?
They are. In fact, there's only 9 states in the country that have partisan school board elections. And as you know, the last session, last year, the Arizona legislature passed a measure to make school board elections partisan, and the governor vetoed it. Now it's back again for consideration. As we've talked about before, board members run for a four-year term,
mm-hmm.
and it's a non-paid position.
Yeah,
unlike some political positions, there is no pay. I always say maybe a fruitcake at Christmas.
Yeah,
but that's about their level of reimbursement, and so they have to reside in the district where they live, and they run at large. In other words, they don't represent a segment of that district, of that territory. They represent the entire group of people that live in that community. And it's always been expected historically that board members represent the common interests of all school children,
yes,
you know, in their system, and not advocate for a single agenda. Now, as a board member, and it's always been pretty transparent, a board member might have a particular interest, say, in gifted education,
mm-hmm.
or they might have a particular interest in special needs youngsters,
yeah.
or a science curriculum or something like that. But it's never been politicized like it is today.
And we have so much partisanship out there. This is kind of the last place where you have kind of this community trying to do what's best for the whole community.
Yeah, it's an interesting. I can relate to a story about a board member who ran for re-election. I won't mention this person's name, but I'll tell you that this person was revered in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up in the committee that community. Mm-hmm. Went to the public schools there.
Mm-hmm.
Decided that he would run essentially as an independent.
Mm-hmm.
He was approached by the Democratic Party. He was approached by the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
Said, "I really want to run as a nonpartisan candidate."
Mm-hmm.
As a result of that, the parties have these voting cards.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're a Democrat, they list the people you should vote for,
uh-huh.
and they hand them out.
Uh-huh.
Republicans do the same thing. This person's name was on neither list.
Yeah.
He lost.
Mm-hmm.
He lost. Unfortunate that that would have to happen.
Yeah.
Because people are directed by partisan activities.
Mm-hmm.
This individual did not really have political stance in anything. And unfortunately, now this person has run again and is successful, but it's unfortunate that we polarize things. And that's what the governor said. Don't polarize board elections.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, bad idea.
All right, there was one item we didn't get to. Absenteeism and graduation rates show some improvement in Arizona schools. Could you summarize that in 10 seconds?
it's up to 24% now, and that's a little bit better than it was, but not as good as it was pre-COVID. Pre-COVID was about 12%.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at 32%. We were at closer to 40 at one point, and that's defined as being absent more than 10% of the time.
Okay. All right. Out of time. Thank you very much, Dr. Robert Hendricks, with us.
Always a pleasure, Bill.
Always a pleasure to see you. And on behalf of Dr. Hendricks and Tom, and I'm Bill, and I'm wishing everybody well.